Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the ALEC Subcommittee and Outreach Meeting on Thursday, the 18th of December, 2014 at 2100 UTC. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdonor, Maureen Hilliard, Fatimata Sayasilya, Leon Sanchez, Devin Nanti-Luxing, and Saranoush Vardinian. We have apologies from Wolf Ludwig, Yulia Morinette, Roberto Gattano, Alan Greenberg, Olivia Crepin-LeBlanc. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Jana Yokovic, Susie Johnson, Joe Catapano, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Devanan.
Okay. Thank you very much, Terry. This is Devanan speaking. So we do have quite a bit on our agenda today, and it's all very important topics. The first agenda item is updating our outreach materials. Currently, we do have several outreach materials developed over the years. The yellow brochures, typically are trifold brochures. And we have also been undergoing things such as the outreach travel, such as the COP program. But are these materials enough? And I would say it's not enough, and we need these updating outreach materials. So on the call, we do have from ICANN staff, Jana Zinovic, hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Jana, who is from ICANN Communications. And I believe this is something that ICANN staff and Jana have been discussing to see how best these materials be updated. So I believe actually Murray is now joining the call. Welcome, Murray.
Yes, hello. It's Murray speaking. I'm online.
Okay, thank you. This is Dave again. So Jana, do you want to take the call?
I don't know if Heidi, if you want to weigh in first before I start.
I was actually waiting. So this is Heidi. And just a very brief update. For those of you who may not be familiar with the history of the at-large trifold, we developed these about 5 or 6 years ago with the help of the RALO chairs and input from some of the RALOs. But at that time, we really didn't have more than about one person in the communications staff. And, you know, they were very short on resources and bandwidth. But since then, we've been very fortunate to have that department grow and to have Jana, who is the Director for Communications and Content. And over the past month, we've been in contact with her, with Sylvia and others to talk a little bit about how we could create a more effective source for outreach, more dynamic, more in terms of multimedia. So we thought we would have a short presentation from Jana today, and then talk a little bit about next steps. And just as a precursor, about an hour or so ago, we held a similar call with the Secretariat. And yeah, a few of you were there. So apologies if you're going to see the same presentation, but we just wanted to make sure that both of these groups are inputting into this process. So with that, Jana, if you wanted to take the floor.
Hello. Hi, everyone. I wanted to thank you all for inviting me to this call, and I appreciate the opportunity to learn more about what you folks are doing and how we could possibly be of service and help. I just put together a short deck that Heidi had asked me to prepare for you guys to go through our thinking and our strategies behind content and how that can help improve the engagement with new members of that we want in the community. So one of the things that we struggle with at ICANN is making our content interesting to outsiders. Of course, it's interesting to people that already know about ICANN, but it's more about people that don't know about ICANN, and sometimes it's often hard to explain. So there was this great quote that someone had said that I like to steal and use, so I don't claim to, you know, crafted this one, but I'll be interested if you'll be interesting. basically saying we have to try and make our content more interesting, engaging for people to either read, watch, look at, and that will help increase our engagement. So how do we do that? How do we start? Often when people come to our department and ask for help creating content, they have already predetermined what kind of piece of content that they want. So they'll say, we'd like to have an infographic or we'd like to have a video. And one of the things that we're trying to implement with different departments is asking them to think first about what the goal is. So before we even talk about what piece of content it is, we like to talk about what the goal is, what the intended purpose is, what you want to do, what you're trying to communicate. And then identify an audience would be the second step, because not all content and all messages will work for all audiences. So you need to have that targeted as well. The third thing is to focus in on one message. As you find with a lot of pieces of content, you're competing with different distractions of people's time. They have work, they have family things, they have other things that they're watching online or reading. So you have to focus on one thing, because often they will only remember one or two things, take one or two things away from that piece of content. And then we choose the platform and the piece of content. So it's kind of the strategy behind how we're tackling preparing new content for ICANN. With digital platforms now and different distribution channels, we do have a lot of different varieties of ways that we can engage with audiences. Not all pieces of content are right for all audiences. So we just put this audience and content group together to give you a sense of the different types of content that you can use, whether it's blogs or publications, presentations, webinars, infographics, photos, and the different distribution channels that you see at the bottom there, whether social media or your website or through blogs. Again, not all pieces of content will work for all audiences, and not all distribution channels will work for all audiences or different regions of the globe, which ICANN obviously serves. So it's important to, again, narrow in on what audience we're targeting and then build that piece of content and platform from that. The last part I wanted to discuss was the importance of, you know, when thinking about pictures, because when Heidi had showed me some of the materials that are used, and I noticed they were very, very text-heavy. And one of the things that, you know, we would suggest is that creating content with strong visual narratives, you know, just to spew off some facts here, this theory that was created about the picture superiority effect, that the average person recalls only 10% of text-based materials 72 hours later, whereas they recall 65% of things where there's pictures. So our brains are wired to process images 60,000 times faster than text. So one of the things that when, again, that I have to reiterate that when I was seeing some of the collateral that you have is that it's very text-heavy, and creating something that's a little bit more visually narrative would help engaging audiences help them remember the content better. The last point, which goes back to the audiences, is that not all content works for each region or language. So localization, to take into account the tastes and preferences of the region, are very, very important. So one of the ideas that, you know, Heidi and I had talked about is that we could perhaps, if this was something that was of interest, is create some templates to show you guys and see if there was interest in helping improve some of the content, if there was interest in doing that. But I turn it over to Heidi to explain more about some of the things we're talking about in terms of content and next steps.
Heidi, this is Terry. If you're speaking, we're unable to hear you.
Mm-hmm. This is Dave. Dana, we are unable to hear you.
I was turning it over to Heidi now. I don't know if she got that to talk about the next steps. Maybe she's dropped off the call.
Hi, it's Murray speaking. While we're waiting for Heidi, I just wanted to...
yes, sorry.
I
was on just another quick call, so I didn't hear the question.
I don't know if you wanted to talk about next steps in regards
next steps, and what we've heard that the Secretariat members were in support of developing a new updated document, and what they were thinking about was more like of a postcard size. So what was agreed on the Secretariat's call was that by Singapore, there would be, Jana and us would work toward developing two kinds of betas that would, one would be a postcard size and the other one would be a little bit larger size. And then we'd present that in Singapore and get your feedback on that. And then once we had that, we would move toward actually working toward a final version by Buenos Aires. And then we would do a strategic rollout of the final documents. The first one would be for At Large and Lacrallo, if we would hopefully have that done by Buenos Aires. And then moving on to where the regions, the meetings were going to be in Europe and in Africa. And then onwards into the next season into Neuralo and APRallo. Now, given that members of APRallo would need to wait the longest, we've gone ahead and ordered the current trifold enough to get by for about a year or so with that. So, and then in terms of that, we would ask that 30 minutes of the Secretariat's meeting in Singapore would be a joint session with the outreach subcommittee so we could get the feedback of both groups at once. So that was my input for next steps.
If anybody has any questions, I don't know if anybody wants me to answer any questions about what I just presented. Happy to answer them.
This is Dave. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, well, while people are still thinking about it, Jana, thanks for this. I think one of our big problems was when we developed those yellow brochures, we were just working with the best of our capabilities. And so our tripod brochures, I think, are very text-heavy. So I think strengthening the outreach materials is important. But I think it's also a bit of a combination of both what happens, I don't know how to describe it, but I would say what happens at the face-to-face meetings when we do outreach, like when we meet somebody that's interested in ICANN policy issues that appears to be someone that, hey, this would be a good person. What's the appropriate material we could give them, him or her? And I think, I've heard the idea of a postcard, and I'm thinking, yes, but I'm also thinking the one-pager is with information on both sides, just explaining what is At Large and how you can join. I think would be very helpful. And then that's the beginning. The second follow-up, the challenges I think also, I think perhaps we need to probably look at it more closely, is when they actually act upon that information from that postcard or brochure, where do they go? So if they go to a website, are they going to be lost, or are they going to find more relevant information pertinent to them? So that, okay, this is very interesting, I'm going to join. So those are some initial thoughts. Also something I was thinking of. I think also in terms of the outreach materials, are you also thinking of things such as videos or slideshows that could be shown? So that basically what you can do, you could just take into a link to a video, for example, which kind of would, I think, better in a more visually compelling way and explain what is At Large. And explain what this is ICANN, here's how you can be involved. Are you considering those type of outreach materials, those kind of audio visuals?
Yeah, so one of the things that, again, Heidi and I spoke about was the importance of having multimedia and obviously multi-platform pieces of content. Video, you know, is again, very, very effective because you're able to use the visual elements to drive a story. However, if it's a certain type of video that is. So I would say that not all video is compelling. So if you have maybe a talking head video where somebody is just speaking to camera for 10 minutes, that won't be as engaging as a shorter video that has a narrative flow. So one of the things that I don't know if, Heidi, you can share the link with the folks on the call here about some of the ideas that I think are effective when it comes to trying to engage people with video. There's one video that is called that Visually, which is a company that we use to create, that I recently started using to create some pieces of our content. It's a causes video. So it was for a nonprofit, and it was all about social causes. And the way they were able to use affected photography, so affected photos, and animate them and have a narrator and a compelling soundtrack underneath to drive engagement. So absolutely, that's on the roadmap, but I wanted, maybe Heidi can weigh in on the thoughts on where video would fit into this and where in the timeline it would be.
So yeah, so I'm not sure if you want to see that video. This is Heidi for the record, but what we thought was that we could do something like this for, in terms of a loop that might be able to run during the ICANN meetings or your other meetings where you're doing outreach at a booth. It might be just a very short video that really just gets their attention and then does next steps for that. So I'm not sure if you're able to look at that, at the video, but it's basically just a 9-second video that we could just keep running in a loop during these sessions.
This is Dave. I think if it's possible to show the video within Adobe Connect, that would be great.
So, Terry, are you able to share that?
Yes, this is Terry. I'll go ahead and get the video up. One moment, please.
You may need to click on the video on it. Or, sorry, the audio, I mean.
Is everyone able to see or hear that?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet.
I think.
Is it going yet?
I can't. I don't know if people can hear it. It might be something that people want to watch in their leisure. I don't know if people can hear it or see it because it's not rendering properly. It doesn't look like.
Okay. But this is Dave. We could see the screen, but not the audio from it at the screen. So okay, this will lead us to find the link to that visual.ly screen.
And this is Terry. I put the link in the chat.
Okay.
Hey, hi, this is Murray speaking. Sorry, I can't raise my hand, but if I could have a second to make a comment.
Go ahead, of course, Murray.
Thank you. I'm multitasking here this afternoon. I really like the idea of the video stuff and sharing images, and I was sort of doing a lot of tweeting in London where I would take an image on my mobile, and I have a nice, it's just easy to get a quick picture, write a quick comment, send it out on Twitter, and you collect a number of images over a few days. So that's sort of what I was personally doing. We were trying to organize that with Ariel in some of the meetings in London. But on the video side, I recall there was a screen in the lobby that was running somewhat interesting things, and people were kind of paying attention to it, but it wasn't as snappy as people are used to, short attention span. So I think those are all great ideas, and could certainly use that both during the meetings and during the social media around the meetings. So I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Now that's a great point. We had what we call the Barker channel,
which was it divides the screen up into various feeds. So on one part you saw the Twitter screen with the hashtag #I1051, and then you had Flickr and another stream, which was just scrolling through the photos. So this is the first time we did it, so we're kind of experimenting. And it also had the schedule, so we're trying to make it more interesting. We'll put in more content because we did notice people going to it when you had the pictures or things like that, or watching what people were saying and reading what people were saying on the Twitter stream. So good to hear that feedback, and great to hear that you're taking pictures and tweeting them out, because even with a post, if you attach a good photo to it, it's way more likely to get retweeted and read if you attach a compelling photo to it.
Indeed, this is David Hans there. Thanks, yes, indeed. And of course, the social media working group has also been fairly active, both on Twitter and our Facebook pages. And of course, yes, indeed, attaching images and so forth. And especially also during our face-to-face meetings, in fact, beginning with our London meeting, has been actually quite well in terms of our number of followers and improved engagement. One question that comes to mind just quickly, because I realized I was hearing something about the timeline. So if I understood the timeline correctly, the idea would be to, for members of the outreach committee and the RALO secretariat to collaborate and try to present something in time for the Singapore meeting. And is that correct?
Correct. So this is Heidi. So again, we would need your input between now and maybe a month or so before Singapore, and then we would present the beta, a draft, or a couple of drafts, just for different sizes and different formats, during the Secretariat's meeting. Well, it would be a joint meeting, that session of it. And then getting final feedback on the ALAC and at least the LAC RALO version, so we would have those ready by Buenos Aires. And then moving on to your RALO and AFRALO, with the others following.
Okay, this is Dave. I'm just thinking, though, that I'm not sure I understand the timing of trying to come up with a LAC RALO material and then for each of the face-to-face meetings for the different regions. But I'm just thinking for our COP program. COP is the Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program, where At Large has kind of obtained funding to attend outreach events. So I'm beginning to think that if there's something that could be done, maybe not specifically for a RALO, but if something could be done so that it would be ready by February, so that soon after February, some of the preliminary materials could then be ready for copies. I'm just asking as a suggestion, and of course I'll...
So I think, this is Heidi again, I think if we might need a day or so just to price things out, and then we might be able to get back to you on whether we would have a couple more ready. But again, I don't think that they would be final by Singapore, if that's what you're asking, Dev. Again, we would want to have your input and show it to both groups in Singapore, get your feedback, and then, as soon as possible thereafter, we would come up with new ones. But we do have enough copies of the current trifolds for a lot of the RALOs. I think all of the RALOs, actually. So,
okay.
You're not going to not have brochures to distribute in the meantime.
Okay. All right, Izzy. All right, thanks, Heidi. This is David Anton. Any other comments or questions? Okay. So, let me ask us. So, this is Dave again. So, how exactly do we want to move forward with this? Do we want to have like a conference call to go over some design ideas for these outreach materials, or would you be just asking for input that we just send via email to you, Jana and Heidi? How do you want to do this? In terms of getting input and getting some preliminary designs out, do you want?
Sorry, Deb, this is Heidi. I didn't quite hear what you said. Are you asking Jenna and myself about how we would want to go forward with this, or the group?
Yes. So if you want to have some preliminary design, do you want to have, I imagine that you'll probably want to have some calls before Singapore to actually, well, flesh out some ideas as to what, look at some preliminary design, some preliminary design approaches, and so forth.
We could surely hold calls. What we were thinking is that the RALO leaders and the members of the outreach subcommittee would work together on getting input from your region, feedback to us, and then we would be able to develop something that way rather than having it be a call. But either way is fine with us.
Okay. All right, so then should we then make it an action item then to have that email be sent to, well, to the outreach subcommittee and to the RALO leadership then to really ask for that, explicitly asking for that feedback? Yes, rather than just leaving it as that? Okay, let's see the action item captured. So we can now make sure that it gets implemented. Any other final comments? I'm seeing comments, quite a lot of comments in the chat. So if anyone wants to see something, now's the time. Glenn, I see your hand is raised.
Hi, it's Glenn for the record. There's a few things from the mail card idea. This was an idea last year that Norello really strongly recommended as something that's much more modern-looking mail card. I don't know if you guys have seen the card that we distributed for ISOC Canada. Very nice layout called Internet Strong. Nice image on the front, QR code, very simple message on the back. Very much directed to a particular group that we know that would be interested in. Now, I've been typing in the chat box about a few tools we've been using on augmented reality, Osmera, and other tools where people have a software program they scan in and they can actually get from the image a short video or other materials or directly. But that's a bit problematic because most people don't have the software. I think the QR code is extremely important for a number of reasons. One is people don't want to have paper if they can scan the code in and they go to an image or a site. But more importantly is the QR code can quantify the visitors to the site. So right now we have many ways to communicate to the community, but we really don't know the results of our outreach campaign. So with the QR code, we can actually get analytics on the results of the money spent on the mail card or any campaign. So that's my two cents.
Okay. This is Dave. Thanks, Glenn. I think indeed. And I guess things like the QR codes, because we can have unique URLs assigned to those QR codes, we can measure for any particular outreach campaign or event. We can measure how many people, you know, as a metric, how many people click the button, click on the link, to scan the QR code.
The only thing I was going to say about QR codes is that, especially in the last like couple of years, they've become out of favor in certain parts of the world. So not everyone uses them. Not all smartphone users have a scanner to scan QR codes. I think it's important. I absolutely agree. I think it's important to point people to a digital platform that you can get metrics on to see if people are engaging with your content, get metrics to see if it's actually working. But QR codes, it doesn't necessarily solve a lot of the problems that we have with people just not actually having them. So there has to be other ways for people to get to the content, either pointing them to a URL or something like that, because there's just a lot of folks that don't use them, especially in different parts of the world.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jana. Any further comments or questions? Okay. Thanks, Jana. Thanks for this. I think it's actually very interesting, and I think I'm looking forward to seeing some of the inputs from this committee and the relaunch and the outreach reviews that will be coming out of it. Because I think it's another update is surely needed. I agree we are, our outreach reviews are tech heavy, so, and I think what you've presented on, you know, having a strong visual method, comparative storyline, is, I think, very important. So thank you for that. Okay. Our next item on the agenda is the update on the PROC, the Community Regional Outreach Pilot Program. I'm not going to go too long into it because everybody's well aware of the PROC program, but I just wanted to bring up an update on it. Thanks, Terry, for bringing up the slide. So just to go to the background of, I'll skip the background, and I just want to bring to the attention again of who the top RT members are from each of the relos. And one of the concerns right now we're having with PROP is that proposals are coming to the PROP RT, but not necessarily in coordination with the PROP RT members themselves. So what is sometimes happening, Seychelles has raised their hand here. Go right ahead. Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, it took me a moment to get off mute here, Cheryl. I do remain very concerned that whilst we're engaging more effectively on the care and feeding of a crop proposal in the proper way with the leadership of the RALOs, it's getting no further, and we need to actually outreach effectively and make sure that the interactions then from that outreach, which I guess some people would call inreach, but, you know, we are still trying to get to fresh fodder in the at-large structures at least, needs to probably have a bit of a marketing plan in its own right. Sorry, I probably jumped in on saying something that you were going to say anyway, Dev, but couldn't help myself.
No problem. This is Dave. So these are the PROP RT members. And this is something that I presented during the PROP meeting in LA, but I think it's important to repeat here. Is that and one of the things we're going to be talking about is the external events calendar, which is later on the agenda. But I just wanted to emphasize that the PROP RT members need to be kept in the loop as to any of the ideas that the realists have for outreach trip proposals. And one of the things I pointed out is that it should be members of the outreach subcommittee, this subcommittee, members from the finance and budget subcommittee, and the real leadership all, you know, working together to come up with the outreach proposals. And it's not just being in the loop in the sense of informing the PROP RT members when the proposal has been posted on the wiki by one of the travelers, which is very critical because, but I think the bigger thing is that a lot of times I'm noticing that the proposals coming to the PROP RT, the small details aren't being looked at. You know, things like, okay, well, where's the website for the event? The things about the travelers, you see, I keep calling to attention. I find myself calling to attention the travel dates. Well, you're putting 5 days, but PROP is only limited to 3 days, to 2 nights. So what's the deal? Do you understand that? Does the traveler understand that? And so forth. So I think having the PROP RT members in the loop would mean that the PROP RT members could point this out to the travelers, to the railroads, and make sure that, you know, those kind of clarifications happen before it gets to the PROP RT level. So it's more, the PROP RT would be more of a, just more of a, I would say, a broader interview as to the scope of the outreach proposals rather than those details. I believe currently right now, I'm just trying to find, remember the link to the page, the RALO has really looked to take advantage of the outreach proposal. I believe they have He has now submitted 5 proposals, utilizing all of the 5 travel slots. ACRALO has used 2, but I have not seen any proposals yet from ACRALO. I'm sorry, I also missed up. I think also Asia Pacific also had 2 proposals, 2 travel slots used as well. But I have not really seen anything from ACRALO and URALO for that matter. But it's already December, so, and the clock requires 8 weeks notice, 2 weeks for the clock review team to review it and to get the permission from the global stakeholder engagement and so forth, and then 6 weeks before to submit the ICANN clock to ICANN itself. So the time is crucial. So that means that there can be no travel going to for any event in January, for example, or most of February, for that matter, at this point. So, and we only have POP available for June 2015. And also one other key note that I wanted to mention is that members of the POP review team have received the administrative report, and one of the key concerns that the administrative admin report, this is the report compiled by the ICANN POP team, was that, just jump ahead to it, was that there's a concern that the outcomes and purpose of the POP travel is not quantifiable enough, and there needs to be more quantifiable goals and outcomes. So, including like the number of brochures distributed, how many people were met, those type of things. And of course, if there's any follow-up with those persons, which leads to them getting involved in ICANN, either through the fellowship or becoming an at-large doctor or so forth. So, any comments or questions or concerns or comments regarding the prop? Okay, I'm seeing that reading the comments on the chat. So, any thoughts, comments, questions? One. Okay. One thing you probably will have to do, and I think we could mark this as an action item, for us to send a reminder to the relos regarding the opportunities for crop. And so that perhaps the relos can then, the relo leadership and the crop RT members can come up with some ideas as to possible outreach proposals. So, and we'll work with a message for staff to send out on that. Okay. Okay, well, you could say staff in coordination with the chairs of the outreach, so David Ann and Murray, to send them to the reminder to the readers. Okay. All right. So now next item on the agenda is the maintaining the external events calendar. So we do have so the reason why I want to put this onto the agenda was because I've noticed that there really doesn't seem to be a centralized way for us to really track these events on the calendar. Now, some of you may be surprised to know that there is a calendar that is maintained by at-large, but I don't think it's being used very well. But perhaps I should really hear from staff on this. So, who from staff will be talking about the external event?
So Dev Gisela was set to, but she's taken 2 days off. So I'm wondering if we could just get some of your feedback on what still needs to be done, and then I can get that information to her.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. So currently I noticed several different calendars that ICANN uses. So I noticed, so for example, there is the ICANN at large calendar, and you know, that's what's, if you go to your Relo page, you would see this calendar of all the, well, what you see for all of the at-large conference calls, but also the external events as well that is added to it. The impression I get is that the Relos aren't really, and I could be wrong, it's not being used, you're not submitting to Gisela the actual event. And I'm wondering if there's a way to come up with a better systematic approach to this. Secondly, I noticed there's also the myicann.org calendar. And I'm wondering if what exactly is the interaction between the at-large calendar and the myicann.org calendar. That's what, because it seems to be that, is it that, does at-large staff update the myicann.org calendar as well?
So, Deb, this is Heidi again. I'm going to be just taking notes, and we'll get back to you on this information. These are good questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. See, Cheryl has a hand raised. Cheryl, please go ahead.
Thank you. Look, calendars are a blessing. They run my life, but they're also in some ways the bane of my existence. I take feeds from all sorts of calendars, including the my ICANN calendar, as opposed to various other calendars that ICANN create. They're improving vastly with taking feeds from what I'm assuming is material from ISOC and other iStar organisations. But from an outreach perspective, we probably need to make sure that the coordination on these calendars is pretty pretty effectively done. I don't think there's a single meeting of minds, let me use the example of the AP Star organisational meetings that tend to occur around AP NIC or APRICOT, so that's very much numbering as well as naming, because APTLD meets in those spaces as well, where there's not considerable discussion about the need to have mutually shared calendars for opportunities. So these things are popping up like mushrooms on an old, you know, sock out in the bush. I'm a little concerned, that, however, that we have some mechanism for cherry-picking the right material off them. The other thing is, in many cases, the feeds come in certainly to my calendar, and I will get a historical piece of meeting information that may have changed on most other calendars but seems to stay on one of the ones that you get a feed from. So having a well-managed master calendar would be a blessing to everybody, but also having the ability for having someone who is accessible, or even an email me stuff thing that was just a member of staff that was easy to get updates done. So deletions, for example, when things have changed. Anyway, that's my plea. I think we need to work on calendars and get it right. I think they're terribly useful things, and I'd like to see in the fullness of time where it's a very simple matter of just saying copy to my calendar rather than take feeds. But right now, I think you'd miss too much if you didn't take feeds, but that comes with problems. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Joel. This is Dave speaking. Indeed. How I imagine how the at-large updates are supposed to get to Gisela is that we email staff to what it's presumably the key event information in order to record the date, the time, where, website. But, you know, I don't think that really works easily by email. And, of course, I'm very, very sure at large staff receives tons of emails. So perhaps it's really the interaction with what is myicann.org, what is happening at that level, because is that going to be like the calendar? Because I noticed I notice that sometimes there's quite a lot of inaccuracy, mind you, but I don't know, I kind of planning to utilize this and rule this out for all departments, so for everybody to interact with, and therefore get a calendar off of it. Or should we try to come up with a technology way to simplify this? For example, a Google form that captures the key information, so that what happens then is that it ensures all the information is complete and so forth, those type of things. Also, Confluence also has a feature called Team Calendar, so they try to investigate the usage of that and so forth. And who exactly should be championed within each of the rulers to, you know, undertake to track these external events and to keep it up to date? Should it be the members of the outreach subcommittee, this committee, or should it be the leader secretariat? So, any thoughts or comments or questions? I think people typing, but if they want to take the floor, now's the time. Okay.
I think what it may have been is you had quite a number of issue questions there. How about you dissect them out and let us respond one at a time, because you had about four different questions in your last couple of sentences, Dave.
Okay.
Part it better for me, please. Make it easier for me to put up a smiley, a tick, or a great big red cross.
Okay. This is Dave. All right. So right now, I think, believe currently information is just sent by email by members of at large to GDL, who then updates the external event calendar. That's the current system. My question is, should we look to simplify this by using something that say the faster Google form? So that the information is captured in a coherent manner. So it's easier, would potentially be easier for GTLR to then capture, you know, copy and paste that information into a calendar. Or perhaps even have the form update the calendar directly. Okay, we've linked text from Shell as a doing with that approach. Alright, any other comments or questions? Concerns? All right. Okay, so we could, all right, well, I'm trying to think who would be, I guess it would be the outreach subcommittee, because I imagine the technology task force would be possibly the other ones on this, but I realize there's multiple paths from various persons in this call on that. So, okay, let's make an action. Glenn, go right ahead.
Hi, I'm not sure if you mentioned it. It took forever for me to get into Adobe today, and the calendar was there, then it disappeared in my Google Calendar, but that's another story. I just want to mention, I tried to do some outreach in the village when in L.A., and it was not very successful at all. I was next to the fellows area, and when people came to get their coffee and stuff, they didn't mind using the table to put their stuff on, but generally speaking, it didn't have the results that we expected, nothing close to the outreach table we had in Toronto. In the Toronto one, there was much more aggressive outreach. It seemed to do much better. But I would say from the tabletop outreach that we did at the village, I wouldn't do it again after the results of that experiment. I had a few volunteers, but not that many to speak of, but just my general comment on that outreach effort.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. I hope we could probably take us to any other business. I see Heidi has a hand. Heidi?
Yes, thank you, Dev. Just wanted to let everyone know that we've had various types of outreach and to various levels of success. So, you know, Glenn, I do understand that you had some challenges, but I do want to point out that in the past, a lot of times outreach has been successful. So I would hope that if the RALO still would like to develop or plan these sorts of outreach activities, you know, at-large staff would be very happy to help organize that. And particularly now that, you know, once we have the new materials, I think it will be a lot more engaging to have these sites available for people to do outreach. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Heidi. We can pass it here. Glenn, do you want to respond immediately to that? Or?
Yeah, I do, and I have to qualify. Like, the Toronto location, we went through a lot of materials. It was quite successful. I think the doodle that I organized with volunteers with Norella, we had the people power to do it, and I think that was in part. And also, people came to us and asked us where the washroom was. So it was kind of a convenient spot to be. Before we told them where the washroom was, we gave them some literature. But I'm just saying that in the village, even though it was a great village, and I thank ICANN for providing that spot, it's just that when people saw the coffee, all they thought was coffee. I would have thought with the mobs coming in during the breaks, it would be great, but it just didn't turn out the way I expected. So that's my general comment.
Okay. Thanks, Cheryl?
Thanks, Cheryl, for the record. The booth and the outreach position points are I'm going to say they're sometimes they're a bit like a crapshoot, because it really does depend on a bunch of things, not the least of which is you know, what the human bandwidth is of your audience. If they've just come out of a hugely intense debate and they're still, you know, to-ing and fro-ing between each other, you get less interest to what's happening on the sidelines, even if the outreach points are ideally placed near the refreshments, etc. So that's always a challenge. But I think there's still very worthwhile things to do. How one measures it, you know, is getting rid of, you know, 2,000 pieces of paper. Is that ticking that box, you know, better than engaging with 30 people who follow up and then actually, you know, become meaningfully engaged with ICANN? There's a bunch of stuff there that we also have to look at. But again, I'm not talking about that being a death knell or otherwise to using it as a tool, but it's just one of the tools in the toolkit. With the tool, however, and this goes back to many years of being in product presentations in huge trade shows, and when you're doing things like Medica in Germany, which literally has kilometres and kilometres of material that people are looking at, you've always got to have a reason for them to walk up, and it's often things like the coffee, the lolly, the chocolate, the whatever. So don't underestimate the power of the trickster. And I'm not suggesting that we always get put up near the loo, but as Glenn said, being the where is the washroom answerer, you know, it works because of the position and there is a point of engagement. But we certainly need to continue that thing, but I think we always need to have a reason for people to do more than walk past and look. And I don't know, I'm not suggesting that we come up with ICANN lollies, but there has to be something that makes people stop. And it can be engaging material. And perhaps with the development of engaging material, it'll become less of an issue. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. Are there going to be outreach tables? So the next meeting is going to be at the Singapore meeting. I don't know if Silvis is not on the call, but Maureen is on the call. Maybe Maureen can answer this. Is AP Rallo planning to have any outreach tables or imagine a booth or anything of that sort? Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. This is Maureen for the record. AP Rallo is considering a crop application to attend the apricot meeting. And yes, I'm finding this very interesting, as I did the earlier meeting with the Secretariat, in gathering sort of like ideas as to what is appropriate outreach activities for us as a regional organisation attending a meeting within our region and outreaching as you say, it's looking at, you know, increasing membership and that sort of thing. So we're looking at what resources we can take along that are actually going to engage members in, their interest in ICANN. So, the discussions that we've had this morning have actually been very, very helpful. And but I think too that the sorts of things that have actually been raised about appropriate content and appropriate sort of like methods of actually relating to the outreach material that we provide, and the types of, you know, as Glenn's raised, how we actually manage operations of the outreach situation that we can provide at those events as well, all very helpful to us. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Molly. This is Dave speaking. All right, I know we're coming to the top of the hour, but I see there's some interesting comments in the chat. Leon, I think they want to speak to that. Leon Sanchez, you're off the floor.
Thanks, Steph. This is Leon. I wanted just to raise a comment that I posted on the chat, and I think Fatimata is on the bridge and she can't read what I put on the chat, of course. I was researching on which other programs we have for outreach, and I realized that we don't have any kids programs that may help us get their attention at a pretty early stage in their lives, of course. And maybe it would be a good idea to kind of explore if we can make some ICANN for kids or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of kids around us. I know that Veronica Cretu's kids are beginning to get involved with governance issues. I don't know, maybe Sirenush will at some point involve Armachik in this, and of course maybe myself will be involving my kids in this at some point. So I believe that it would be a good experiment to just take a look at some possibilities or some chances we might be losing for not paying attention on the kids and trying to just get them at an early stage. So Heidi was posting in the chat that Fatimata is involved with schooling children programs. And I think we could find a sort of way to do something together. And that would be my comment, Dev. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Leon. I think that's a very interesting idea. I mean, it'll be a challenge to come up with the materials, but I think it's an interesting challenge to, and it could be quite rewarding as we sensitize a younger person to about ICANN and how, you know, they could follow or get involved. That's an interesting idea. Cheryl, you have anything?
Yeah, thanks. There's kids in varying layers, of course. Sorry, Cheryl, for the record. There's kids at various layers as well. We do have the youth movement that's growing slowly, and I'm a long-standing supporter of all of that. But to be brutally honest, we get a few bright minds at a certain time during their academic career. Sometimes that can be as early as late high school, which means that they've, dragged their bones along to something pretty much because someone in the school said they should do, and to not do that would affect their the reputation that they are trying to build. You'll then get the slightly older ones who, because they're doing relevant studies in the internet or technology world, can see a rationalisation for engagement. But sadly, all too often, that then ends as they move on to their career. But that's still all very much worthwhile doing. There is no reason, as I was saying, why we couldn't get down to the lower levels. And in some ways, that gives you opportunity for those hooks to get people engaged. But there has to be a rationale, and that's going to take some deep thinking and some fairly specialist material development. For example, you would think that any child that's been brought up in my environment would probably have been immersed in such a way that they would be, engaged in internet and ICANN world. But I find it fascinating, despite the fact that the key ceremony is a good example, was very much old news when for some reason it appeared on social media recently. My 27-year-old, forwarded it to me like it was incredibly new and exciting just because of the way the article was written. So again, it comes back to the quality of the material that we use to engage the kids and the youth. And of course, I don't particularly mind how young we go. We can start, printing bibs. I'm contributing to internet policy, or at least my mum helps me to. I don't really mind how far we go, but we do have to make it fit for purpose. And as far as I'm concerned, the fact that, Alex, sent me what was effectively, a second or third key ceremony in case I didn't know about it, and I went, yes, darling, I've been watching them for the last few years, isn't a bad thing. But we do have to get a reason for them. He obviously, something in that article twigged him, looked at it in social media, and then felt it was worthwhile sharing. So we've got to get that right. And with the social media, we also need to realise that there are age restrictions and limitations in many countries on access to social media. So we need to have different models there. It's not clear to me how this next statement of mine would work in the world of ICANN or at large outreach specifically, but I do have to share with you that in the world of emergency services, which I spent an awfully long time in, we found getting storyline into popular television and or radio stories which encouraged an aspect of something we were doing. So for example, if we wanted to increase people's interest in learning CPR, you almost kill off a favourite character in a show and have them saved miraculously by the 11-year-old daughter because, someone had taught how to do CPR. That type of thing can have an effect. So I'm not sure how that sorts of piggybacking off established popular media might work, but it's something particularly with kids we shouldn't forget about. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Cheryl. Well, I think there's actually some interest here to see, because I think Glenn provided some examples as well. And I think, and Heidi has mentioned that there is some form of local outreach where apparently local university students are brought into the ICANN face-to-face meeting to learn and understand about ICANN. So, well, I know we're going past the hour and I have another call. Leon, you have I see your hand raised, so go ahead. Leon, you have your hand raised? And we're not hearing you.
I'm sorry, Deb.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite hear you. I hear a lot of echo.
Oh, well, I see your hand is still raised, so I thought you were going to respond. So, is the hand raised, or is it the old hand?
Oh, that's an old hand, I'm sorry.
Right, okay. Thank you. All right, I would like to extend. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Deb, this is Heidi. I'm just wondering, going back to the outreach table, would you like to have an action item that you would like to request on behalf of the ALAC outreach subcommittee, that meeting staff place you in good locations for your tables?
This is Dave. I would think yes. Obviously, I think we have to work closely with AP Rallo because it will be mostly members of AP Rallo that will be staffing that outreach table. Maureen, do you think we want to make that request? Because I think it would be, I'm thinking the answer yet, but up to AP Rallo. Okay. Well, I'm not hearing Maureen, unfortunately. But all right, let's follow up.
Jeff. I just got distracted there for a minute, and I heard one thing. Could you just repeat that question, please?
Okay, Heidi, the discussion regarding the outreach table, what are the action items coming out? We could have an action item to make a request to ICANN's meeting staff to look for a better location of the outreach table for at large. So I would say, I just wanted to confirm that I think that's a good idea.
Sorry, this is Maureen for the record. Yes, I definitely think that there needs to be some sort of light content, and I think that whatever Glenn made some good suggestions about the outreach table, which I think should be recorded.
Yes. Excellent. All right, then I see the after. Thank you, for that. Okay, we're now 10 minutes past the hour, so I'd like to thank everyone for being on the call. I want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. And see you on the next outreach call, probably in January. Thank you all, and this call is now adjourned.
Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays from Canada. Yeah.